listening to Dismissed, an international school SUVA podcast series.
Hello, this episode is titled, Let's Talk About the Man from Snowy River. My name is Mahir, and I am your host for today's episode. I am here with some guests, and I will allow them to introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Drea.
Oh, my name is Socket.
My name is Winnie.
And my name is Wadia.
Okay, so, who would like to tell us what the Man from Snowy River is? Like, give a quick brief.
The Man from Snowy River is, it was originally a poem written by Andrew Barton Patterson, better known as Banjo Patterson, and its film adaptation was directed by George T. Miller, and it was released in 1982.
The film was produced 92 years after the ballad was originally published.
In our English class, you know, we all watched the film adaptation of the poem and we read the poem. What similarities and differences did you guys notice between the poem and the film adaptation?
I think, well, one major difference that was there, so basically in the poem, it's about this horse that escapes, a colt, and the underdog, the man from Snowy River, he has to, like, get it back. So one major difference is that in the poem, no reward is given, but it mentions the worth of the horse, which is £1,000, but there was no reward given. In the movie, $100 reward was given for returning the horse.
Another major difference is that the poem, The Man from the Snowy River, was very mysterious and elusive, while in the film, The Man from the Snowy River had a love interest, which was Harrison's daughter, Jessica, and she wasn't mentioned in the poem. So that was something the film decided to add.
Yeah, I think, I agree with you. That's a good difference, but I think they might have added that because, you know, it's a film. It's a different, like, type of entertainment. It's not a poem. The poem would have been shorter, but I think they would have done that in the film because you got to add more depth, you know, to keep viewers engaged.
So another difference between the poem and the film is the characters and how they're portrayed. This is because in the film, there's a love interest to the man of the Snowy River, right? And this adds a new character, the daughter, which is not available in the poem. And it also changes how Harrison's portrayed as he's like protective of his daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. And in the poem, he's like just a senior-wise guy who's experienced at writing music.
Winnie, would you like to add anything?
Yes, I'll just kind of point out the most obvious difference that I noticed is that the fact that the main character actually has a name in the film, while in the poem, he's only mentioned by description. So we know that he's a stripling, which means a young man. We know about his age and the fact that he and his horse are both mountain bred, but not much more than that. Obviously, in the film, they had to change that because you can't have a whole 90 minutes of a character without a name. So that's a really obvious difference.
Yeah, I think Drea or Wadia said something very similar to that. That in the poem, the man from Snowy River was more mysterious because he didn't have a name and there was like no lines. And like you said, in the film, he had a name. Well, we just talked about the differences. Would you guys did you guys notice any similarities?
I think a similarity is the conflict. So when he's in the poem, when the man from the Snowy River first arrives, Harrison is negative towards him and says, no, I don't want him, right? But then Clancy, he explains that he and his horse are mountain bred. So I think a similarity between the poem and the film is the type of conflict. So there's man versus man conflict in both. In the poem, it's when the man from Snowy River first tries to join the hunt for the horse, and there's a conflict between him and Harrison, but Clancy convinces him. And the film, there was the same conflict, but also with his daughter, because like Harrison didn't want Jim to date or like date his daughter. And there's also man versus nature conflict, because during the descent of the horses, there's a lot of obstacles, such as a log which the horses had to jump over in both. So yeah.
Oh yeah, and in that scene, Jim, like, he takes a shortcut, which you know, implies, which shows that he knows the land and he's an experienced rider.
There was also a scene where they were running into the river. Someone was riding next to him, and they ran straight into the river, and they got stuck there. Well, Jim, he took a different route where he actually, it was shallower, and I think that also implies that he and his horse know the mountains better than all the other men.
Yeah.
I did not notice that.
You did it?
No, not the part with the shallows.
The black guy who, the guy dressed in black.
Wow.
Guy dressed in black, and he got stuck in the water.
So, okay, back on topic. So, how do you guys think that Patterson's choice in the poem, like, impacts the readers, and how Miller's choice in the film may impact viewers?
Well, there is the use of literary devices in the poem and film codes. So in the poem, literary devices are used, such as, you know, similes, alliteration, and a lot of Australian slang or terminology. But in the film, there's a wide range of film codes for symbolism, such as using non-diegetic sound to intensify certain scenes, various shots and angles, such as the Dutch angle.
Oh, my, big words.
I would like to add on Jujia's explanation about the Dutch angle. I think that one of George Miller's choices to portray the poem into his movie was when Jim was riding down. That was probably the most the scene with the most suspense, both in the poem and the movie. And he uses a Dutch angle, and what we learned in class is that Dutch angle is like kind of something's off, like Jujia said. And the expectation there from all the men was that he wasn't gonna make it. He's young and weak. But at the end, we do realize that he can make it because they all underestimated him.
I also think in the film, there was a lot of significant symbolism to the poem, such as the man from the Snowy River. In his costume, we could see his hat that covered his eyes, and that kind of shows, like, as I've said before, a sense of like mystery and
Okay, so Miller used the hat to like sort of like connect to the poem and cast that sense of mystery over the main character.
Yes.
I think Patterson's choice of literary devices had a big impact on the audience and the readers. So, for example, in stanza 8 of the poem, there's a line saying, "And upward ever upward the wild horses held their way." So as you can see, he uses the alliteration here, saying horses and held, and it says upward and upward, which shows that they were on an incline and the horses were keeping their pace steady, which kind of hints that they're losing hope to capture the horses. The use of the alliteration gives this idea to the viewers.
He also used an A, B, A, B, C, D, C, D rhyme scheme. And that was very interesting. He also used a lot of imagery in his quotation, as it is a ballad. There are a lot of words that you could picture the whole scene.
Descriptive words. To paint the picture in the reader's mind.
Also, like I mentioned earlier, lots of Australian terminology and things that refer, things in the poem, aspects of the poem, which allow you to know that it's set in Australia. For example, there's mention of traditional Australian plants like the mimosa, and if I remember correctly, the kurrajong is also a flower. There's a place called Kosciuszko, which is Australia's highest peak, and they use words such as cracks, which refer to Australian first-rate excellence people, or like experienced riders. I think Winnie mentioned striplings, which are, you know, a slang for young men.
Now that we've talked about the similarities and differences and like how the different choices of both different creators of the two different text types, what do you guys think that the film adaptation was successful or not?
Why I would say so.
You think so?
I mean, I didn't watch the entire film, just the, you know, last clip, but the film provides a background story, so it makes it easier for people to understand the climax. Whereas the poem just starts from the rising action. It only has the rising action, climax, and resolution.
Like, I don't think any of us have watched the whole movie, so we don't really know if it was completely successful. We've only watched a particular scene.
True.
So we can't really base our opinion on that particular scene.
Yeah.
I think I would like to disagree with that, respectfully. It's just that the poem, it's only about 3 pages, and a lot of book-to-film adaptations are, like, a whole book full of countless chapters. So it would be hard to stretch out this small story into a whole 90-minute film. So I think that the director's choice to add that seven-minute piece of the film to completely reference the poem was a good choice, because he needs to add more content and background in the beginning before he reaches the poem part. Mm.
But then why make it into a movie?
True. Why not just make it into like a short film?
Yeah.
Profit. Because you need to make something people will watch.
Yeah, but if you want to make it a successful book to film adaptation, like, why not just do what was in the poem, not add on a whole other hour?
How long would you think that would last? How long do you think just that part? It was only 17 minutes in the entire movie.
Like 20 minutes, basically.
Do you like to watch movies, or do you like to watch 20-minute videos?
Well, it's like a short film.
Many people watch
short films. Many people watch short films.
What do you popular.
But I think the movie's choice of adding a backstory is good, because like it helps viewers understand more about the character, and the later parts, such as the rising action and climax, will be easier to understand.
Yes, it also makes George Miller have his own creative influence on the movie. He's not just completely copying word for word what Banjo Patterson wrote in the poem. He needs to add his own creative influence into it.
True. I gotta agree with Socket and Winnie, because for me personally, when I read the poem, it was a bit hard to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
until we annotated it as a class.
I mean, you guys said like to add depth to the characters, so they had to add in that whole hour before we got to that 17-minute clip, which was what was taken out from the poem. But I think this, like, that hour also takes out, like, it takes away from the poem, because it adds, like, it takes away from that, as Wadia said, the mysterious factor of the man from Snowy River. Now you, like, have this whole backstory to him, and like, at the end of the, in the poem, at the end of the poem, he was referred to as, like, a legend and a household, like, a household name told all over Australia. But in the movie, like, he's not really seen as a legend, like, he's his own character, and he's less mysterious. You
would
like
that
something?
On that
too. No.
Because in the poem, it starts with the man from Snowy River. He's always mentioned as the man from Snowy River.
Yes.
But in the movie, he earns that name. You can see in the resolution part of that 17-minute clip, Clancy names him the man from Snowy River. He's looking at him, he's astonished by him, and then he says, the man from Snowy River. I think that shows he earned that name more, and that gives him a better legacy than just being referred as the man from Snowy River from
the
beginning
start,
to end.
Okay, I think you got me now.
In the poem, they don't necessarily refer to him as the man from the Snowy River. The people that live there, the writers that live there. And then after he accomplishes what he accomplishes, the bringing the cult back, that's when he gets
the name,
yes.
Yeah.
So, well, then that just means that they're both equal in that part. That doesn't mean one is greater than the other. It means that he both earned the name in both forms.
Yeah, but like in the poem, I think it's more like, it's, how do I say it? It was a cooler way? No. In the poem, I think he earned his name like in a more heroic way? No, because I want to say that he was like the underdog, and then he became, because it says he was a young man with a small horse.
Yeah.
What's the word? I need
a
word.
Meaningful, earningful.
I can't find the word. Yes, does somebody have a dictionary?
Wait, what about the fact that in the movie, Jim had more reason to get all those horses? He had Jessica as a reason. He had the fact that he doesn't need the money. He used that against, what's his name? Harrison.
Mm. So basically what you said is he had a reason in the movie to prove himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas also reason. In the poem, he also had to prove, he also had a reason to prove himself.
Yeah.
He was seen as the underdog, a young man.
Well, he was in the movie
with
as well.
A small horse. He was an underdog.
And how do you know that? Have you watched the whole movie?
Have you watched the whole movie?
He was told by Harrison to get off his property. Yeah. Do you understand what but that then, implies?
But that's but basically, that's like a reference to what the poem
There's
said.
More conflict
he
in
didn't
the
want
movie.
Him to be there.
Yeah, because of his daughter. The daughter added more like reasoning for both of them to dislike each other.
Yeah, Jim was trying to win Jessica over, right?
Yes. In the book, Harrison just mainly believes he's just a young man. He's not doesn't have any, you know, doesn't have anything to bring to the table. But he has an actual reason in the movie to dislike him. He's trying to go for his daughter.
That was a good debate, good discussion. So do you guys have any final thoughts on the map of Snowy River?
I think we can all agree it was a good poem and a good film.
Yes.
Go watch it.
At least that's something
I'm
we can
not gonna,
all.
I don't really like this analyzing and debating. I just like both. Yeah.
Okay, so thank you for listening to this special Let's Talk episode, recorded live in front of our Year 9 Language and Literature class. Let's hear from our audience. Thank you guys for coming out, and thank you, audience, for listening to us.
You are dismissed.
Yay!
You know, I still think the poem was better.
Can we give this?
I think the poem was better.